spirit guide me. Trapped in the body of man, physical flesh representing the spiritual death. Sons of Enoch, I walk with a hood coated, encoded in my own mystery. History, I see as somebody before me. Human mind hidden in computer circuitry. Never the one to shudder under pain. Undercover, you're living a lie. Deliver your soul to El Shaddai. Bounded by the shackles.
Yeah, because crazy times in this country for sure. Crazy times with so much going on around us. And but one thing, just something as an encouragement for all of us, is that we don't live like the world lives. When you belong to Christ, when you belong to Him, you function differently than the way the world does. See, the world needs 100 bodyguards and people to block off roads and dogs that sniff for bombs and all of this stuff. It needs all of that. And even with all of that, it still can't protect its own, and it devours and destroys its own. God's people, we have around us at all times, when you walk with Him, there's a protection that is on your life, that is around your life, that is with you 24/7. You're guarded, you're protected by Him. And that's why it's important that you stay in Christ and you stay close to Him, because then you're in a place and you're in a position where that is constantly there and constantly surrounding you. So the danger comes when we step out of position with Him, because then we also step out of a place of protection. But if you're staying in step with Him, you can walk into the jungles, you know, controlled by the LTTE, or you can go stand right in front of you know, a nuclear bomb, and it'll go off and you'll be fine. I mean, Jesus, when they were talking to Him and they were trying to arrest Him in the garden, and one thing that they said, and one thing He said, was, He said, look, at this moment in time, I can ask the Father and He would send 12 legions of angels, and, you know, and they'd get me out of this. But He says, but how would the scriptures be fulfilled, you know, that were spoken about Him? So even with that situation, Jesus had an out at any moment. He could have gotten out of that thing. But He said, it's the Father's given me the ability. I lay down my life and I can take it up again. So He chose to lay down His life at that moment in time for our sake. So nobody took it from Him. He gave it of His own free will. And so there was always an out for Him. But for us, we're in a different situation in that, okay, the price has been paid. There's a fulfillment that's taken place with Christ. We have that same protection with us. But ours is also to lay down our lives like Christ for whatever it is that He has. But in that process, nothing can touch you, nothing can harm you when you walk with Him. Because also your life isn't in this world. But you have to trust Him in that. Because, see, the world their hearts will fail them for what they see coming upon themselves even in these days. And they'll do a lot of things to try to protect themselves. But they can't save themselves. There's only one Savior, who's Christ. But those that are in Him, you have the best protection you have all of heaven, and the entire hosts of heaven are right there on your side fighting for you. A story in the Bible of Elijah, when they were coming to get him, and he was surrounded by the armies of this king that, you know, because he kept telling the king of Israel, you know, what the enemy was planning, because God just would show him, and he just said, here's what they're planning to do, and frustrate the heck out of this other king. So this king said, alright, we have to go get this guy. And as they went to get this guy, and his servant was like, shoot, they've surrounded us, what are we going to do? And his prayer was, he said, God, Elijah's prayer was, God, open his eyes so that he can see, you know, that those that are with us are more than those that are against us. And the guy's eyes were open, and all of a sudden he saw, in the spirit, he saw that the armies of heaven that were on their side, surrounding and protecting them and fighting for them. and then all of a sudden the whole thing was turned around. So that's always there in another dimension for God's people. We have a spiritual protection that's there that trumps everything else in this world. So you will see in this day, in this country, God's protection on the lives of His people. I've seen it many, many times in the past. I know we'll see it a lot more tangibly, a lot more overtly in the future. So it's part of what we're called to. And so don't run from it, you know, embrace it, because God has you, God will take care of you, God will watch over you, but you have to trust Him in that and just stay close and allow Him to lead and direct your life and what it is that's happening. So it's not to, don't worry the way the world worries, you do trust the Father. So so encourage you in that, because also too, on Sundays, my brother Chandala, there was a word that God gave back in October, and he played it back recently, but just basically along the same lines of everything that's happening right now. And but God's promise also for protection for His people, and so we're seeing that as well. Okay, we finished a series last time, and so anytime we finish a series, one thing that we do is we break it up a little bit, and we do a bit of a Q&A before we start the next thing. So start with that, and we can kind of move on a little bit.
You guys must be having questions, and we pick up from then.
Since we asked, we clarify everything there and then.
Since we came all this week,
yeah, we have missed out.
One thing is just, you know, talking a little bit also in difficult times. I mean, Damatab and I were talking a little bit before the rest of you guys got here that just God's provision and how God takes care of His people. And that's something also too that you're guaranteed to see that when you walk with the Father. Jesus, He promised again in Matthew 6, if you seek first the kingdom, your needs will be taken care of by Him. And it gets supernatural when you walk with Him. Because what happens when you walk with Him is if you trust Him, He will provide your tax in the mouth of a fish. He will send bread from heaven. He will make water come out of a rock. This is what He's done throughout history. And this is what He will take... 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed everybody that showed up for the party. I mean, he works like that. So there's an element of trust that it goes against the human nature that we have, because the human nature is always constantly seeking security. You want to know where tomorrow's bread is going to come from. But Jesus said, just pray, give us this day our daily bread. So He'll take care of the need when it's needed. That was one of the promises that, you know, He had for me to understand when I started just saying, okay, Lord, I will step away from what I know and I'll trust You and I'll trust Your direction. But I think one thing that's happened for me along those lines is I've gotten more comfortable with it because I've seen it happen more and more. So the more that you kind of see Him doing it, and the more use that you get to, okay, He does provide, He does make things happen when they need to, that's when it's like, okay, now you just get used to it. You're like, okay, He'll take care of it, you know. Starting out, it's a little bit more terrifying because it's just like, oh my gosh, what is going to happen? Where will, you know, how's my baby going to get shoes for college, you know? It's like, and it's, you know, He's two. He's got, college is a ways away. Don't worry about it. So it's part of the adventure is trusting Him in that. So, we also share in each other's burdens. We share in each other's things that are going on. That's part of what we do as a body. So it's not that we don't broadcast everything to everybody, but it's like, you know, when you are struggling some, you can, you know, it's like there are people that he puts around you so that you don't have to go through things alone. And I'm learning that too. So, anything though from the last series? As far as questions from the last one?
I'm still confused about the whole Priyana's public question ones. We love about how God got Joseph's brothers.
Yeah. The question
was
what they did evil, and were they evil for?
The plan of God is working through that.
Yeah. I wish I would have grabbed the scriptures. Okay, let me find these ones really quick. One scripture is Romans 8, verse 27, that kind of addresses that. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. One thing about that whole situation, even Joseph later on when he's talking to his brothers, he said, look, what you intended for evil, God has worked it out for good. I mean, and what one thing that happens if you will stay close to the Father, if you walk with him, if you are his people, one thing he's able to do is he's able to take any circumstance, any situation, anything that happens in life and turn it around and use that for his glory, for his kingdom. And he's able to twist what the enemy would work for evil and make it work out for good. So that's one of the things. The cross is an example of that. You know, I mean, that's the most shameful, degrading, humiliating, torturous death that anybody could suffer. And God took that and turned it around as the point of sacrifice necessary and the price that needed to be paid so that all humanity could be, could have available to them the gift of eternal life through God, and that the price of sin could actually be paid and dealt with and paid in full. So God caused He causes all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So if you are called according to his purpose, then you can actually take the things that happen in life too and put them before the Father like that. I've done that before. Sometimes I've been through some bad situations and I'm like, God, okay, this is something that is in your word. You said in your word that you caused this stuff to work together for the good of those that are called according to your purpose. I know that I'm called according to your purpose. I know that about myself. So because I know that about myself, I know and I trust that you are going to take this and do something with it. So just help me to understand your purpose. Help me to walk in this and to embrace this promise. And he's done that. You know, I mean, he's done that with every area in life where I've suffered loss or hurt or whatever. He's taken that and turned it around and done something beautiful with it. But it happens on his terms, you know, and it happens also in a process too. With Joseph, it didn't happen the day after he got sold into slavery. You know, it took 30 years for, or not 30 years, it took 13 years, 13, sorry. He was 30 years old when it happened, but it took 13 years from the progression of things going from bad to worse before God turned that thing around and showed what His purpose was behind all of that. So there's an element of trust that we have to go through as well. Now, there's another scripture, and I wish I would have found it if I'd known that this question was coming, but where Paul is writing about this, basically, you know, some people say, look, you know, well, if God is glorified by me doing bad stuff, you know, then, you know, why don't I just keep doing all this bad stuff and then, you know, God will get glory. That kind of argument. And Paul just said, well, you know, kind of along the lines of, who do you think you are, man? I mean, it's just like, you don't, God will work through this stuff, but ours is just to seek to walk with Him. And, you know, be on the side of truth, be on the side of light, and, you know, yes, He can work things out, but you don't want to test His mercy, you know, because the mercy of God is not guaranteed. God said, I'll be merciful to those whom I will be merciful to. So He picks and chooses that as He wills. And so some people, He will turn things around for them.
Do you think it's fair? I mean, can pick and choose? Like,
well,
But he does give opportunities for everyone.
His grace is available to all in this dispensation, but His mercy is. I mean, it's up to Him, you know. And see, this is one of some of the ironies too about our existence. Like, for example, Pharaoh. You know, you see, like God said, because He knew that Pharaoh's, you know, He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, and out of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, where he said, okay, I'm not going to let these people go, all of that, God was glorified then through him, through the power encounter that came between Pharaoh and God, and Moses being God's servant. So what happened was, you have somebody who in the natural has exalted himself to the point where he thumbs his nose at God, and God says, all right, you want to go that route, I'm going to solidify your heart in that, so that you're also now going to then bear all the rest of this. And it comes down to the point after 10 plagues where that guy's own son ends up dying, and and out of that, that it's just like, that's how his people are let go. But see, out of that too, there's this miraculous intervention where everybody knows that it's only God that could have released them out of there. It's only God that could have got them out of that situation. It's only Him that could have made the way for them to be set free from slavery. They'd still be slaves in Egypt today had God not intervened. So even like in this nation at this time right now, I can't see any way outside of God intervening in the affairs of this nation for there to be a change here. I can't see, unless God changes hearts in this nation and turns the hearts of the children to the fathers here.
It's not that He will look after His children, as in who loves Him, but unless, you know, I mean, the hierarchies change. Yeah. Their ways and, you know, evil ways.
Because you have rulers in this nation on every side that are very much like Pharaoh. You know, they've thumbed their nose at God, they've thumbed their nose at humanity, they're very evil people, and they don't care about people, about humanity, about consequences for their actions, and every day their people are being sacrificed to Satan for the sake of wealth and power. So unless God intervenes in the situation here, things will just continue to go that way. Now, there is an element also happening here of people reaping what they've sown. And for those that have chosen the path of war and racism and all of those kind of things, this is the kind of fruit that comes back to you. And so it is asking.
It's like a generational curse.
Well, it is a curse. I mean, So what happens is you are salt and you are light in this place. And you are God's ambassadors here. So God has you here in this place for a reason. So it's ours is not to say, okay, how do we save our lives and protect ourselves from any harm or eventuality? No, ours is to say, okay, God, you have us here for a reason. You put us here for a reason. What is your purpose here for us being here? And how would we be used by you to for your kingdom purposes here? Because you're it. You know, you are the last line of hope for the people of this country. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's it. So ours is an assignment that God gives us. We're on a rescue mission here. So we do whatever it is that the Father gives us opportunity to do. But we also take heart because it's like it's not us doing it. The Father does it through us. You're just instruments. Yeah, and He makes the way for all of that too. So if we can hold on to the adventure of it and just say, all right, Lord, I'm open. Whatever it is, you do it. And there's a fulfillment that comes in life when you do it like that as well. So, but yeah, knowing that that He will take care of us, that He will provide for us, that He will be miraculous in every situation that He needs to be, and we just have to trust. You know, that's another word for faith is trust. You know, when you have faith in God, you have trust in God. You know, you trust Jesus to do what He said He'd do. You trust Him to be who He said He'd be. So, yeah, this is a time where that faith is tested. That trust is tested, you know. And but also, it's when things get difficult, it's cool because also that's when you get to realize where is your faith really at? Is it real? Because a lot of people they find out that their faith, when it's tested, they find out that it's not real, or that it's on shaky ground. It's a Jesus that works great when they have soft music and a comfy chair and, you know, 2 hours in the morning, but not when it's actually put to the test. And so it's better for that faith to be broken into 1,000 pieces and then a real faith be founded on the rock who is Christ Jesus and built up out of that. Better to not live in an illusion and to really know in the core of who you are, what is there. So we're kind of living in that time right now. But yeah, as far as like evil people doing evil things and all of that, ours is not to really worry about that, because I mean, God will use us to confront evil. He will use us to as a witness, as an ambassador, as somebody that gives a testimony for Him in the situation. God opened the door for me to give a letter to the president one time here, about a year ago after the soft games, where God gave me something for him. I wrote it down afterwards, and with the whole medal facilitation thing, I just had it in my jacket, and he was shaking the hands of like the top finishers, and then he ran off right after that. So I was like one of the last people that got a chance, and just as I shook his hand, I was like, here, I have something for you. But it was basically, I still have it on my computer, but it was basically just, well, yeah, and but it was something from the Book of Enoch, but also just along the lines of, you know, it was a warning from God. I mean, he had some time. God is giving him a window of time. And I think for this guy, he's filling up, he's going a certain direction. So there's, everyone is brought to account. No one gets away with anything in this world. It seems like they do for a while. you know, it seems like they do for a while, in that, but there is a judge that is above all. There is a just judge. You can twist and turn the courts of this world, you know, in the system of this world, to let the guilty go and put the innocent away and all of that. The world does it like that. But there ultimately, at the end of everything, there is a judge who is righteous, who is just, who judges by a standard of truth, and nobody gets away with anything. And all you get is either you're under the blood of Jesus or you're not. Either you are saved and delivered by Him or you're not. And for those that would thumb their nose at God and at truth and at justice and continue on in that path, they will bear in themselves for all eternity the consequences of their actions. So, but yeah, God gives us an opportunity to confront things. And I remember the guy sitting next to you, he was kind of a young swimmer. He's like, what is that? And I was like, oh, I got a letter from this guy. He's like, you're going to get shot, man. And he's like, oh, you? And it was like, but the thing for me is like, if God puts something in your heart to do, just do it. Because just do it, because the consequences are in His hands. They really are. And if you don't do something that He puts there may not, you may be God's only, the only one to do that job. So I mean, we've kind of come into a part now where I don't think there's too many plan B's left. I think a lot of it is just one-off shots here. So but yeah, trust the Father, let Him lead and direct, and with that you will see also His purposes being manifest. So besides Priyan's, go ahead.
Yeah, I think even like something that Priyan said again, his question was like, okay, if Joseph's brothers were evil,
yeah,
and God used them, right? And if they were part of God's plan,
yeah,
and why he, I think he finds it difficult, if God is merciful to everyone, why is He making people evil?
Wait, here, check this out. Go to Isaiah 45. Okay. Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. I just have to go down until I find it. To subdue nations before Him, I will loose the loins of the kings, to open before Him the two leaven gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give thee... wait, let me skip down a little bit. Okay, verse 7. I formed the light, Isaiah 45, verse 7. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Okay, so...
Priyan reads this, he's going to be more confused.
No, so, okay, here's something that we've... Again, this is something perhaps a misteaching, or... people have been given this illusion that, okay, God is, you know, this do-gooder, you know, up in heaven in a straitjacket that just can't do anything about the world and what's happening here, and He's just crying His eyes out, watching everything that's happening. No, He made the whole thing. He made Adam with weakness inbuilt, where he had the potential to fall. He made Lucifer. It's His devil. It's His devil. He made him. He made all of this stuff, because in the middle of all of this, which is His creation, there is something that's taking place. There is something beautiful coming through all of this trauma and upheaval and all of that. So God makes the whole thing, and we now live in this. for a season of time. Not this is not you're not going to spend your entire life here. This is just a period of time where you come through this world and you get to experience, in this time, you get to experience separation from the Father. You get to experience that first love of falling in love with Christ and being set free from sin and being restored unto Him. And you get to experience the restoration process of going from glory to glory in Him and being restored to Him and finding purpose again and knowing what true love is again. You get to experience all of this drama, and in the most amazing production play that this world, that this universe has ever seen. And God made the whole thing, and you are actors on this stage going through this whole thing. You have a role to play, just as Jesus had a role to play, even as David was a man in his own generation that fulfilled the purposes that God had for him. You fulfill a role and a purpose in this entire thing. And God is in full control of everything that's going on here. You read Revelation, and there's so much. I mean, if you think the stuff happening in the world right now already has been rough, you know, hold on for about 2 or 3 or 4 more years. It's going to get nuts. Absolutely crazy. And unless people know the Father for themselves, they won't have a clue what to do, because all of their protections in the world will fall apart. All of their planning and hope for themselves will fail them. All of the people that they put trust in, anything that's not the Father, will fail. And a point comes where they will run to the rocks and the mountains and try to hide from the face of God. So, but God makes all of it. Now, some things are actually props on the stage. You know, some stuff. If this world and everything that you're in, if this world is the illusion, and since it is, because this world isn't reality, none of us stay here. So you're in the dream right now. Some stuff that's around you is not even real. No, seriously. Because you can't go by what you can touch and what you can feel and what is the senses that you face. Yeah. No, the movie The Matrix touched. Yeah. No, it touched on a chord with people. There's a reason why certain movies resonate with society, in the fact that for a lot of people, like, that the world that they see is not the real one. So there is, they alluded to something along those lines. The truth is stranger than fiction. So God puts certain things along your path when you have a heart for truth and you're seeking Him to help you along the way. So, but it comes with a commitment to truth and to really want to know and to really want to walk it out with Him. But the whole thing is God's. So He makes the whole thing. The devil is doing a fantastic job. He's doing exactly what he was made to do. He's doing exactly what he was made to do, which is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, and to test the saints of God and to test your love for Him. Do you really love Him? Are you really His? Will you really go to the very end for the one that loves you, made you, created you? Or will you fall short? Will you trust in Him or will you not? He will do His job to test you to the very hilt of to find out, will you? Will you sell out along the way? Will you give your free will over to the world in exchange for a temporary fix to an eternal problem? Or will you truly follow the Father? So all he's doing is his job. So Lucifer is just doing his job. So I don't fault him for that. But I'm actually somebody the Father sent to work on the other side and destroy his kingdom. So light and dark clash in this dimension. So this world is a stage in which light and dark, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom, it's just this cosmic clash taking place here. And in the dimension of spirit, when you see there, it's like it's massive battles taking place. So you know, we have a role to play in this whole thing. But yeah, it is a different season now too, actually. I mean, now is, you know, there are those that will come to Christ in these days, but right now is a bit of a, for those that are walking in Him, it's really to get shored up and strengthened in your walk, and yeah, and really to focus on that. But yeah, he'll create the opportunities for you, and just when He does, you just give the word and give the truth. But it's not even the words that you speak, it's His light in you and His life shining through you that makes the difference. It's just you being there even that will. I mean, scriptures talk about how Peter would just walk through the street and his shadow would heal people. So it's not Peter, it's the Spirit of God coming through him. And just you being somewhere, your presence will make a difference. So that's why we allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide us.
I'll remind you of the idea of God, the opportunities that I've gotten. God had a plan for me to go there. It just came so suddenly. It was like, in the first place, I didn't even want to go initially. But it was, you know, initially they wanted me, and then I checked the dates, and I didn't want to go because I didn't know the crowd. And then I was kind of contemplating and I prayed about it. And then they finally, the person who was coordinating it called me and said, hey, you know, you want to get ready to go, I mean, these are the songs and stuff. So, like about 3 or 4 days before the function, I was called and said, I think they have gone ahead, because you initially said you were not going to come, they have gone ahead, they have made the budget without your cost involved. I probably thought, you know, definitely it's not God's will. So I was kind of disappointed, but at the same time I was thinking, you know, if this is God's will, I'll accept it. And I didn't worry too much about it, didn't even care too much about it. 2 days before the departure, they called me and said they really want you on the event, and they've approved your budget. And in fact, the main guy, when he had known that I was kind of supposed to be on it, and then, you know, wanted to come, and then they have gone ahead without my cost, he said, no, get on. And anyway, I was thinking, okay, fine, and I'll probably go. And I didn't think too much about the event, I did the event, I was so exhausted. The event was, we landed in the morning or in the afternoon, did the event, and the following day we did nothing at all. So I was kind of sightseeing and trying to go see what I can shop for. And these girls who were stewardess of Mihinya, this was the Mihinya event, and the youngest girl out of the lot, she happened to be around, and she said, if you're going back again, I don't mind joining you. I said, yeah, because our hotel was just next to this shopping area called Orchard Road or whatever. And so I said, I'll call you as soon as I finish. So then called her, and I went to the room, and then it was around 6:30 or 7. I said, look, if you want, I said, yeah, I want to come, and, you know, both of us went to this place. And then we shopped a bit, which is casual, general talk. And then we stopped at this restaurant to have dinner. And she was reluctant, saying, I'm not going to, let's, you know, have something, drink, and let's go. But there was a purpose for that. And I was just talking to her, and I just casually, I was like urging to ask her, are you Christian? Then I said, sorry, Christian. And then she was like, no, I'm Buddhist. But she said she was, she had been brought up in a Christian background. She went to school, seventh day Adventist school. Mm-hmm. And although she was Buddhist, she said, although I'm Buddhist, I'm a strong believer of Jesus Christ. I was like, what? Wow. And then I was just jabbering there on, you know. And then I was talking to her, giving her the advice, and I said, listen, I mean, you're the youngest of the lot, and I kind of gave her kind of the outlook of how people look at you and Venus to it. And because the function that was held the previous day, all the girls were like around this guy who owns the airlines and the chairman, mm-hmm. and he seems like, you know, messed up. And these girls were just, you know, playing around. And I said, listen, I mean, you should be careful with who you associate, because, I mean, what you see is not what you get.
Yeah.
As long as you're beautiful and you're young and you have people take advantage of you. And she was like, she was grateful that I was giving her that advice. And then I said, then I shared a little bit of my background, how I came to know the Lord and, you know, what done with her and all that. And she related to that so, I mean, it was like, mm-hmm. it was her background, because I came from a broken family, a messed up family, and apparently her father had left her mom for another black American. And the father was working at a hotel in the States, Florida or something. Mm-hmm. And her mom was supposed to be really beautiful, and apparently given her like loads of problems, like, you know, abusing her and stuff like that. So she's kind of grown up in that environment, and so she was sharing this with me. I didn't relate to that part, but I was just telling her how, you know, my life was transformed when I came to the Lord and stuff like that. And then she asked me, do you believe that, you know, God can talk to you through someone? I said, yeah, of course. I said, even I think that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I mean, you know, I mean, and then we had like a connection.
Yeah.
And she couldn't believe that I was there to actually explain all that. And I said, do you go to church? I said, then she said, I go to Calvary Church in Kandahar or someplace. She lives in close to the airport. And I said, continue going there, because I said, there's no one else who can help you. And it's only Jesus Christ. And then I was sharing about how, you know, when times are difficult, where finances are concerned, then she related to that as well.
Yeah.
She, I know, I mean, she, it, for her, it's like she needed encouragement at that point. And see, it's like that. I mean, so God do use you no matter where you go, that He will create opportunities. And the next day, the day I was leaving, I don't know if you know Fiona. You know,
Fiona Cruz.
Fiona, who, she comes in advertisements, pretty girl. Might be knowing her brother is Chris. Chris is, I think Chris was your husband in the Nespray. I think. I'm not too sure.
She's
had a lot of husbands.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure anymore. Fiona and Nirupama, this girl who was coordinating the event, she works for Prashan Nyanakar.
Prashan.
Nirupama. Yeah. So they were all there, and I happened to be in the lobby, and we were like just about, our flight got delayed like 6 hours. So we were just in the lobby and we were just chatting. And then I happened to be there for some reason, and then Nirupama was casually talking to me, and she said something about, you know, not being able to have children, and that, you know, and then I was like, have you prayed about it? And then she said, yeah, I have. I said, there is nothing that God can do. And it seemed like she was Christian. She had mm-hmm. been praying about it. And I said, you know, Sarah, at the age of, you know, 90-something, you know, she had a kid.
Yeah.
There is nothing impossible to God. And then she was saying how what complications he had, and then you know one the doctor who operated on her, because she had a cyst in her womb, and the doctor had operated it but operated on the wrong side, and the cyst was still there, and it was a completely completely messed up doctor, I'm assuming, because I mean to operate, cyst was supposed to be on the right side, and he operated on the left side, and the cyst was still there. And there was infected bowels or something like that. I don't know how she was living. She was saying she had just, you know, because there was so much of complication that he just, you know, put everything inside and just stitched it. And she couldn't have kids at all. Now she's been married for 17 years. And she was like, she was almost in tears when she was saying that. And after so many years, this doctor, Hemantha, Hemantha, the gynecologist, he came down and he managed to rectify the problem. He operated on her, and he had said, you know, over a couple of years, you know, you probably could conceive, so you know, watch out for it. So she's scared, and she doesn't want to take the risk because there's so much of complication that was involved, and she knows what she had gone through. So I was there. I don't even know what I said, but I just said what happened and what I felt at that time, and that apparently, you know, was effective on her. And she, when we went to the bathroom, later on we went to the bathroom, and she was like, you know, Tasha, I'm so glad I met you, and you know, that advice you gave was just, I feel so much better, and you know, so things like that. I mean, and she said, Tasha, I would really appreciate if you can, I'll give you my email address, and you send me some inspirational stuff and stuff like that. So I was like, that was true. That was like my crowning moment. I mean, it was not even the gig, you know. I mean, gig was just you, my usual, you know, going, singing and coming back. But it was like something I had really achieved, yeah. You know. And then Fiona had another issue. I was like this Dr. Phil female version.
Why do people actually approach you with problems?
I don't know. It's just that...
She's wearing a badge called Auntie Anne.
Tiny aunt.
No, exactly.
Only certain people can see.
Exactly. I don't know what it is. That. So so I happen to like give advice, but I don't even know what I have not even gone through those phrases, you know, in my yeah. life. But God just gives you wisdom
exactly.
to, you know, I mean, talk to them in the very words that they want to hear. So it's a matter of being available.
Yeah.
He's just concerned of your availability. He's not concerned whether you know the Bible from book to book, cover to cover. You know, he doesn't. Of course, you need to pray and spend time with him. But just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he will just guide you. And yeah.
Exactly. No. Excellent. No, that's. It's key, because you know, in so many situations, see, here's the thing, the Father knows exactly what's in the heart of another person. You don't know. I don't know. I have no idea where somebody else is at. But God knows. And so when the Spirit of Christ that lives in you, that also knows exactly the pain of another person's heart, is there and sees that person, God's Spirit will flow through you to minister to that person where they're at. And time and again that happens. And I think the key is that, one, that we just seek to get out of the way, let God do what He wants to do in those situations. And then you're constantly just making sure, Lord, am I staying on track with You? Because, see, one thing that the enemy will work to do is to try to get you out of that position where God can minister through you into the hearts of other people. So He wants to get you wrapped up in something else, so that your mind, your heart, your thoughts, your spirit is not in a place where somebody else can receive from you, because you're out of position with the Father. The Father wants to have you, and wants you, out of your free will, to stay in a place where you're constantly in connection, so that wherever it is that you go, whether it's in a shopping line, or on a trip, or this Como Fashion Week, just, I mean, several spots where it's like, where rather than say, okay, it's nothing to do with a show or anything like that. It's, all right, Lord, you've created an opportunity for something. What is your purposes in this? And it may be something as small and as minute as somebody who's, you know, bringing water into some room, and he may be at the end of his rope and may be thinking about going home and killing himself, and God may have you right there in some moment, something that he speaks through you that, you know, I mean, that may be the whole purpose in that whole experience. So ours is not to, don't, again, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Man looks at how things look on the surface, and if it's big, it's important. If it's small, it's, I mean, my parents' testimony is one of just a humble carpenter who just was making some shells for my dad. And that was God's agent to bring about their... Exactly. I mean, and but that guy was in position with the Father, loved the Lord, and when God told him something to say, all the courage that he could muster, he just went and said that one statement. That was it. But that opened the door. And now when I look at my parents' life and the umbrella that was created for my life, because they created some space for me when they're walking with Christ, so we all grew up with tapes in the house. We all grew up like, we all grew up learning together. But that, it's somebody that would, in the world's eyes, seem insignificant, created a way for so much to happen out of that. So we never see the results of the seeds that we, oh, I shouldn't say we never see, but many times we don't see the results of the seeds that we plant. Ours is just to sow. And the Father is the one that causes it to grow. One man sows, another man waters, God causes it to grow. So, really, just to stay in step with Him and to always be seeking that. You know, sometimes it's, for me, it's a little bit of a, because you, again, you're still in the world and you're surrounded by so much, and it's like constantly, okay, Lord, I just want to stay in step with You. So it is a bit of a struggle because, you know, in that process it's like you're surrounded by a lot of things that are working to take you another direction. So keep just, but if you keep that focus and just take it moment by moment, you'll always be fine. So, okay, so we will probably get into the thing next week, but maybe I'll just give you the opening scriptures and we'll Proverbs 29 and Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Okay. Without a vision, God's people perish. Where there is no vision, people perish. All right. Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Here, let's flip a couple more. Matthew 5, verse 7. Matthew 5 verse 7 says, John 14 verse 15 says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, without a vision, God's people perish. Without a vision, people perish. And for Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And if we love Him, we obey Him. The need for a vision for direction, for clarity, for understanding. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, okay, every person needs, that is walking this life out, you need to have a vision of Christ for who He is. You need to see Him for who He is. When somebody has an encounter with Him, if you have a true encounter with Him, it absolutely changes your entire reality. The way that you see the world, the way that you see everything changes if you have a vision of Him. If you actually see Him for who He is, if He reveals Himself unto you, it changes the world that you live in. It changes the way that you see the world. It changes everything. And you notice with Christ, when He came into the world, He didn't come and set up a religion. You know, He didn't come and say, okay, now I'm establishing the religion of Christianity. No, nothing like that. He just said, look, I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. So like you said, your friend on that trip, who said, look, I'm a Buddhist, but I really love Jesus and I follow Him. I mean, it's like, what is in a title? There's nothing in a title. If she knows Jesus, then great. Fantastic. If she's following Him, superb. You know, Jesus said about the disciples, look, the time is going to come when they're going to put you out of the synagogues. Now, He didn't tell them to stop going. He said they're going to throw you out. They're going to think they're doing God a service. But they're going to put you out. You're going to get thrown out because of Me. So, every person just needs to have a vision of Christ for themselves. If He reveals Himself to them, that'll make all the difference in the world. Acts 9 is a case in point with and we'll probably go into this stuff a little bit more in depth next week. Acts 9, where Saul, in verse 3, says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou Me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay. Prior to Saul ever having a vision of Jesus, ever seeing Christ for who he was on a completely different track. He was serving God the way that he thought he was supposed to serve God. And all of a sudden, when he actually saw Christ for who he was, it turned his life completely around. So that is something you can pray for people, is that they would have a vision of Christ for themselves, that they would see Him for who He is. When that happens, a person's world is changed. You can't see Christ and not leave unaffected. It shakes your entire world. So a vision of who Jesus is. We need to also see a vision of ourselves. Both what we are outside of Christ and who we are in Him. Both are important. To see who we are, what we're capable of, separate from Him, and then, even more importantly, who we are now in Him. People tend to focus, you know, on one and leave the other one out. No, who we are in Him. If you see who you are in Christ, because you are enveloped in Him, you become one in Him, that reality will, it's, you can move from that, you can walk in that, but one is an appreciation for where we came from, what what he saved us from sometimes, and then also realizing, okay, this is what we're looking forward to, this is who we are now in an eternal sense. And also one more is a vision for life. This is something that the Father puts in the heart of those that walk with Him. He doesn't just save you to save you. He also gives you a direction, a leading, an assignment, a specific track that is given by Him for you. That on that path there's a fulfillment, on that path there is a joy, on that path there's an adventure, on that path there is purpose. And His design and every skill, every ability, everything that He's put in you, every gift is utilized. You meet people, you meet brothers and sisters in Christ, you go about the will of the Father. All of that comes with the vision that He gives to and for your life. So, but that has to be given by Him, and it's something that He directs, He leads, He guides. And I'll show you guys something towards the end of that. But anyways, it's kind of a little brief overview of probably what we'll talk about for the next 1 or 2 weeks. So, but I think for now, because we're already out of time, we'll stop there for the night, and we'll pick it up next week.